Tonight, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, and you're probably going to say, and it will be so, that we're going real slow. That's what we're doing. Tonight will not be any exception to that, because we'll spend most all the time talking about the identity of the 24 elders. Now, since these elders are mentioned a number of other times in the book of Revelation, it is very important that we try to carefully identify them here in this first part of chapter 4. Otherwise, we won't know what the meaning is in the verses to follow. They're mentioned again in chapter 7. Mentioned again quite a number of other times in the book, as you're going to see. Mentioned again in chapter 5 over here. And so there's a lot of verses that deal with them. And we're going to read now the fourth verse, because we spent last Sunday night looking at verse 2 and 3 there that talked about the scene in heaven. And I told you that there on that throne was a very special throne that was erected for the judgments of the seven-year tribulation period. It does not have God and Christ on it. It only has God the Father. Because Christ will be seen in chapter 5 standing there out in the mist. And he's not on the throne. So we have a vision there of God the Father on his throne. And it is the judgment throne for the seven-year tribulation period. Now we have some more descriptions of the throne, and there are 24 other people that come into focus here in verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. One thing that I do not quite understand here is why the King James Version took a word in the Greek. It's exactly the same. It's the word thronos. For instance, it occurs back up here in verse 2. There it said, and one sat on the throne. It's thronos. And you come down here to verse 4. And round about the thronos were 24 thronos. It's the word for seat there is the word thronos again, same word. Now, why they would translate it throne in some cases and then translate it seat in other cases, I have no explanation. I'm afraid they'd have to tell you why they did that. I don't know. To me, it doesn't make any sense. I guess the problem they had was a problem that a lot of other people would have. If this is the throne of God, and here are other thrones, surely they must not be exactly like the throne of God. Well, I would imagine that the thrones of the elders would be lower and inferior thrones, certainly, to that of God. But I don't see any reason to change the word, because it is, in fact, the word throne. There are actually 25 thrones that he saw up there. One has God the Father on it, and the other 24 has these elders on them. So that'd make 25 thrones, as I count. If I'm not mistaken, that's the way that I would count it. Now, you remember the passage we went to last Sunday night here in Daniel 7. Daniel 7 and verse 9 said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. And like I told you, the Hebrew there reads, I beheld till the thrones were set up. And actually, it's the same idea that we have over here, except over here the thrones were being set up. We talked about that last Sunday night. But here we have now 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones. And so they are certainly lower thrones than that on which the Father sits. No question about that. But now what we need to do is identify these favored persons that sit up there in a circle around the throne of God, seated as it were in state, and have the dignity of crowns on their heads. There are many interpreters that try to maintain that these are angels. And those that hold to the post-trib and mid-trib and oftentimes our millennial position have to try to make these angels. Now, that is difficult to do because of a statement in chapter 5 that we're going to look at. You say, well, how do they get around that passage over there? They retranslate it from the Catholic manuscript. Not the Textus Receptus, but the Vaticanus. It reads different. So, You see, when we look at some of the things said about these elders, it's pretty hard to make them angels. Now, I've got a question. If angels are called elders in the Bible, where is the text excluding the one that's before us? They're called thrones, principalities, dominions, powers, all that. They're never called elders. How could an angel be an elder? Were they not all created at the same time by God, and therefore one is not any older than the other? So how could you speak of an angel as an elder? There is no place in the Bible that angels are ever called elders. So in my estimation, they're off to a bad start because they don't have any scripture for what they believe. They just got theologians' ideas. Now, the term elder is often used in the Old Testament and the New. I don't know how you could read over there in the Old Testament without running across the statement, the elders of Israel. What was that? That was the old men that represented the people in governmental positions. That's what it was. Now, let's just take the New Testament. For a while, we'll just forget about the Old Testament. Just take the New. Look how the word is used in the New Testament. Go over here to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 2. Look what he says. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, what is the identity of the elders there? They were, in fact, the elders of a local synagogue, evidently. The old men are the people of spiritual standing that were the representatives of the entire group. All right, look at another time that it's used in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. And look at the word elders there. That would be the old men that are leaders of the nation of Israel in Jerusalem. So the term elder is applied either because of great age from the physical standpoint or because of spiritual position, advancement and all of that. They would be considered elders. Well, we know that it's certainly used of the New Testament church, and it's used of the bishops or the pastors because you have the word elder there in Acts 20 used in one of the verses, and then they're called bishops. Our version has overseers, but it's the word bishop. But now look who the elders are here in the 20th chapter of Acts, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So these are the old men, the men of spiritual standing, that were the leaders in the church at Ephesus. That's what they were. Well, you probably also recall the passage there in James chapter 5, verse 14, said, if any is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Again, that is the old men, either old men by the standpoint of their age, or men of great spiritual advancement, and therefore considered to be elders. So any time that we find the word elder in the Bible, it always refers to men. It never refers to angels. There is not one single verse, unless it be Revelation, where it refers to angels. So therefore, I would have to conclude that the word elders over here, whatever it represents, it must have the meaning that it does all the way through the Bible. It must represent people, some kind of people, individuals. All right, let's go a step further now. Let's think a little bit about that vision of heaven that Isaiah had in chapter 6. He didn't see any elders. We read here last Sunday night from the vision that Ezekiel had in chapter 1. He didn't see any elders. Only John saw elders. Why? Why didn't they see elders up there with God on His throne if indeed these elders are angels? Why didn't he see them? All right, let's suppose that the boys are wrong that say they're angels, and suppose they're men. Why didn't he see any of the people up there? Because in the Old Testament time, the people of God were in the paradise section of Sheol or Hades. They weren't up in heaven with God at that time. so there wouldn't be any elders there because there wasn't any saints there at that time. That's why John saw elders and why Isaiah and Ezekiel did not see any elders. They're referring to redeemed men, you see, that's in heaven. All right, let's see if we can't go a little beyond that now and find out some things that's said of these elders. Not only just here, go over to chapter 5 and let's read verse 9 and 10. And here it says that the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Well, those elders then are all of the people that are redeemed out of the nations. That's what the Bible says they represent. So, well, that's your opinion. No, that's what the Bible's saying about it. They're saying that they have been redeemed by the blood of God. Well, how many angels have been redeemed by the blood of God? Say, well, I can't think of any. The elect angels didn't need redemption. The non-elect angels can't be saved. So much for the angel idea. Goes on to say, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests. Where is it said in the Bible angels will ever be kings or priests? Again, I need a text. I don't think you'll find one. And we shall reign on the earth. You say, well, if a verse that's plain, how in the world can they say they're angels? Well, here's what they do. They go get the Vatican text. I'm going to read it now like they'll read it to you. This is out of the American Standard Version, which is certainly wrong on this verse, as it is on some others that I can mention. But anyway, here's how they have it reading now. They're quoting not the Textus Receptus Greek text that the Baptists and Protestants always use. They're quoting the Catholic text. If you want to trust the Catholics now, I guess you can, but I don't particularly trust them. Here's the way it reads. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and did purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be unto our God a kingdom of priests, and they shall reign on the earth. What have they done there? They have changed the pronoun. They've given an entirely new meaning. The Textus Receptus says, as our version, hath redeemed us. In other words, the elders are referring to themselves. Some people read the Bible all the way through and don't know the difference between us and them. Well, this is us here. And they're also made us kings and priests. Well, I don't know how anybody can read the Bible and fail to see that have to be redeemed saints. That's not angels. That's redeemed men. Now, I'd hate to know that I had to prove my whole theory on a Catholic manuscript of the Bible. I'd be very uncomfortable with that position. All right, what else is said about the elders? Well, they're sitting on thrones. God has promised thrones to His children. Let's take the Bible and prove that. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me into regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Saints are promised thrones. Saints that are washed in the blood. They're not promised to anybody but to the saints. Revelation 2 and 26 says that some of the overcomers, or the saints, will have power over the nations. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 talks about thrones and some sitting upon the thrones. And that again is the saints. If you look at the context, that is the saints of God that have come back on white horses from heaven with Christ in chapter 19. So thrones are promised to the saints, redeemed saints. Well, they sit on thrones, then they again would have to be redeemed saints, because only redeemed saints are promised thrones, you see. All right? It also said there that they wear crowns. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Where in the Bible are crowns promised to angels? Again, There's no text, you see. It's not there. But you know, there are many texts where crowns are promised to the saints. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 1, verse 12. The book of Revelation has quite a bit to say about crowns. You could just stay right here in the book of Revelation and see that crowns are promised to the overcomer. Look back over there at chapter 3 and verse 11. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Then look back in chapter 2 and verse 10. The latter part. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So again, crowns are promised to the saints. The saints that overcome during these different ages of the church. They're not promised to angels. Then I note also that they are clothed with white raiment. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll find that is the attire of saints. You don't have to take my word on it. Go back there to chapter 3 and look at verse 5. He that overcometh, and the same shall be clothed in white raiment. That's a promise to the overcomer there in the church at Sardis. All right, go on down, look at verse 18 of that third chapter. Remember what he told the church at Laodicea? And white raiment that thou may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. All right, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So the only ones in the book of Revelation that are said to have on this white raiment are the saints. So again, they have on the clothing of redeemed men. Say, well, there's another verse over there that talks about angels. It's a different word in the Greek. The clothing of the angels is a different word in the book of Revelation. It's not the same as translated white raiment here. So they wear crowns that are promised to the saints. They are redeemed by the blood of Christ and made kings and priests as the saints are promised. They wear white raiment, that is, the attire of the saints. How could they be anything but the saints? Well, they must be. The question then would naturally arise, why are they said to be 24 in number? 24. Why not 12? Why not 10? Why not 2? Why not 100? Maybe 1,000? Why 24? Well, we need to go back to the Old Testament to try to derive some information about that. There were many Old Testament priests, literally thousands of them to be exact, if you'll take some of the counts in the book of Numbers and the like. But there was only 24 priestly course. And what I mean by that is that, like the course of Abijah, which Zechariah was a part of there in Luke chapter 1, who was the father of John the Baptist, they administered in the temple for a two-week period of time. And so you had 2 weeks, and you'd have then different priests that come. Another course would take over and all of that. But the 24 priestly course represented all the priests in Israel. Let's go back and see if we can look at a little bit information about it. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and 24, and I certainly don't have time to read all the verses that I'd like to read there. Maybe to save some time, just look in chapter 24 there of 1 Chronicles, and you can get some idea about what I'm talking about here. In 24, read the fourth verse there. Remember now, two sons of Aaron died because they offered strange fire, Leviticus chapter 10. And that only left just two of the boys then. And there were more chief men found among the sons of Eleazar than the sons of Ithamar. That's the two sons of Aaron now. And thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there was 16, start counting now, chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. All right, if you put 16 and 8 together, how many you got? It's not very hard to figure that out, is it? All right. What you had all of these 24 courses of the priest. And that 24 courses of the priest included all the priests of Israel at that time, included all of them. Now, if you also would read in 1 Chronicles 25, and don't take the time, but anyway, he enumerates there 24 instruments that are to be used to praise God. In verse 31, he says the 4th and 20th, and then he talks about it. So there's 24 instruments of music that were used to praise God in the temple. We also learn from chapter 26, there were 24 porters that guarded the temple. And John Gill said there were 24 different places in the place of worship that they had to watch. A lot of 24s there in that Old Testament temple. And then there were 24,000 Levites that served in the house of God, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 3 and 4 there. So you have a lot of 24s there. So now in the Old Testament, the number 24 represented all of the priesthood. You have to remember now that these elders here are said to be kings and priests unto God. So then as 24 represented all of the priesthood, like I said, there's literally thousands of priests, but 24 represented all of them. And so I think that you have 24 here representing the Old Testament priest and the New Testament priest. And God originally intended that all Israelites be priests. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, just go back over there and you can read it for yourself in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. I know that he ended up with an outward priesthood, but he intended for all the people to be priests. And while that was not completely realized under the Old Testament dispensation, it was realized in the New Testament when all believers are priests. Over here in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. The whole nation would have been priests. That's God's original plan. Actually, the head of the home was a priest at that time before the outward priesthood. And in holy nation, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. We come over here to the New Testament and we find out that all believers are priests. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 2, first in verse 5, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Then on down in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now later on in this book of Revelation, you'll find out that these are all in the heavenly temple. They're in the heavenly temple. As a matter of fact, over here in chapter 7, the book of Revelation, verse 15, they are before the throne and serve him day and night in the temple. So what is he seeing? He is seeing the saints of the Old Testament and the saints of the New Testament, all represented by these 24 elders. While they're 24 in number, they represent all of the Old Testament saints and all the New Testament saints. But they are literally 24 elders. We're going to identify those a little more in detail. Now, note how that the book of Revelation stresses that the redeemed are priests. Look back in chapter 1, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. We just read there 9 and 10 that said they were made kings and priests. Now, what happens to all of those that are in the first resurrection? Over here in Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So what do the 24 elders represent? They represent the redeemed of God out of the Old Testament dispensation and the New Testament dispensation, all caught out at the rapture, all given glorified bodies at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ that we spoke about here this morning. And so the 24, they represent all of the Old and New Testament saints. That's not a new idea. There are many people back in 1600, 1700, 1800, 1900 that have said that in commentaries that I have access to. Now, another thing that I note here, they're dressed like priests. In verse 4, they got on white garments. Well, what did the priests wear? Go back to Exodus 28, Leviticus 6, Leviticus 16. They wore that white linen, clean and white. So they have on the attire of priests. Later on in this book, we find out they're going to have harps. Go back over there in Chronicles and read where the priests, the singers, they had harps. They sang, and the priests in the Old Testament were the singers. They got golden bowls, and that is something that, again, belonged to the priests. So we're seeing all of these people dressed like priests because they're made unto God kings and priests. There never really was but one king priest in the Old Testament, and that was Melchizedek. Aaron was a high priest, but he was never a king. David was a king, but David was never a high priest. So only in Melchizedek and only in Jesus Christ do you have the king and priest office combined. Zechariah 6 and verse 12 said he'll sit as a priest upon his throne. That's a king and a priest at the same time. That's Christ. And since we're going to reign with him, we too are going to be kings and priests unto God. Let's go a step further now. Some of the people that don't like my interpretation, they come back and they say, well, now, these are real men because they talked to John. Yes, they talk in chapter 7. They sure do. I believe they are real men. I've never denied that they are real men. I've always maintained they're real men. Now, if you ask me, where are the elders of Israel and where are the elders of the church, what would you come up with? Well, who are the elders of Israel? It'd have to be the 12 sons of Jacob. I mean, you can't get any further back than that because the tribe started with those sons. That is the elders. And if you want the elders of the church, that's not very hard to determine because 1 Corinthians 12:28 said he said in the church, first of all, apostles. All right, now there's a description of the city, the millennial city over here in Ezekiel 48. And it gives the names of 12 different things over there. And they are, if I recall, the original sons of Jacob, too. Because they argue about who's going to be what. Well, go to Ezekiel 48, start at verse 31 there. Note now on the gates of the millennial Jerusalem, you got the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Why? Because they're going to be inside there in that city. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi. And at the east side, 4,500 and three gates, the one gate of Joseph, one gate of Benjamin, one gate of Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures and three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, and one gate for Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500 with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, as it would be in the Hebrew there. All right, so then we have the names of 12 people. Well, you know the names of the 12 apostles. You could go to Matthew or Mark or Luke, any of the Gospels, you can find their names. They're all listed there. They're 12 by number. One man forfeited his apostolic office, and Matthias took his place. Now let's go over here and look at the New Jerusalem. That's going to be the home of, I believe, these elders. And what do you find over there when you go to that? Let's look for just a few moments now. And look at some verses here in chapter 21. And what it says about the gates of the city and all of that. Verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That's 12. Let's see if we can come up with another 12. Look down at verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. All right, you add 12 to 12, and what do you got? 24. So then what do you got when you got the 24 elders? You got the redeemed of the Old Testament dispensation, the redeemed of the New Testament dispensation. You got the elders of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. You got the elders of the church that are the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, other people come back and say, well, now, since they speak, they can't possibly be representative. Well, that's a strange thing to say. They oftentimes were in the Old Testament. Evidently, some fellows never read the Old Testament. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Go back to Jeremiah 37. Look at verse 2. I'll show you how that the men themselves were real men, but they represented the people unto the king and all of that. Look at verse 1 of that verse 2 of the 37th chapter of Isaiah. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. They represented the other priest, but they spoke and they talked to the king. You have the same thing in Jeremiah 19, verse 1, but I shall not bother to read that. Another important thing is, when you go through the book of Revelation, you come to chapter 19, there's no more elders. They're never mentioned again. But there's a new terminology that comes into being, the bride. The bride. And a great multitude up there with the bride. And so there's no mention of the elders after chapter 19. They're gone. They never appear anymore after that. Why? Well, the symbolism is over. There's no need of it anymore after that. So they disappear after chapter 19 in verse 4 because there the bride comes forth. But now note something else. These elders up there in heaven have on their crowns. Why have they got golden crowns on their head? After all, when will crowns be given out? Well, you don't have to take my word on it. You'll see what the Bible says over here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So then what crowns are given out when Jesus comes back? This morning we read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Said a crown of righteousness would be given out to all of those that love the Lord's appearing, be given out by the righteous judge when he comes back. So then crowns are given out after Christ comes. Somebody said, show me the pre-trib rapture in Revelation. I'll show it to you in the crowned elders. Because the only way that elders could be crowned in heaven would be if they have been to the judgment seat of Christ and been rewarded. I have asked my post-trib and mid-trib friends, why do the elders have crowns on their head? And to this very day, I've not had one person to try to refute or answer that argument. In fact, they have tried to make them angels. That's the only way they can get out of the doghouse. And I don't believe they can successfully make them to be angels, as we pointed out here. So if they're up there and they're the saints, they represent the saints, they got crowns on their head, that means that Christ has come and the judgment seat of Christ has been going on. So there's your pre-trib rapture right there in chapter 4. Like I said, I found it in verse 1. But if I didn't find it in verse 1, I can find it certainly there in verse 4. Because the only way those elders can have crowns is that the Lord Jesus has already come back. Crowns are given out at the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, we'll have more to say about that later. That's our lesson for tonight. Let us stand and we'll sing.